Abraham is a central figure in Scripture as well as in our faith. And I have to say that his deep trust in God always moves me. God calls Abraham to leave his home and to set out on a journey, and he does it, not knowing where he's going, not knowing how long it will take. I regularly think how Abraham's faith in God seems unshakable, how he trusts God's promises. But even with that, there are times in Scripture when we see Abraham wondering, how, when will God's promises be fulfilled? And I think he's an excellent model to us of what to do in these times of questioning, because he tells God directly. He tells God what he's thinking, what he's feeling. He directly asks God, how will these promises take place? He doesn't shy away from sharing with God exactly where he is in the moment. And we have an example of that in our first lesson this morning from the book of Genesis. In this lesson, he's still Abram. It's before his name is changed by God to Abraham. And Abram is concerned that he will die without an heir. And in response, God promises Abram descendants as numerous as the stars. It's a beautiful image. It's also striking because in Abram's day, how many stars must have been visible without all that artificial light? And so Abram looks at all those stars, and in the stars sees God's promise of uncountable descendants. But also, gazing at those stars and hearing God's words, Abram is perplexed, because he knows that he and his wife Sarai have no children, and they are now beyond the age of childbearing years. And so Abram is convinced that the head of his household will not be one of his own offspring, but will be his servant Eleazar. It'll be Eleazar that is his heir, not a son. But God is insistent that Abram will have many descendants, and God then makes a covenant with Abram. And that covenant is marked by a ritual action. God instructs Abram to bring a heifer, a goat, a ram, a turtle dove, and a pigeon. The larger animals are cut in half. The parts are laid out facing each other. And a deep sleep and a terrifying darkness overtake Abram. And God makes covenant with him, saying, "To your descendants I give this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates." And that covenant is marked by fire, a symbol of God moving between the animal parts. And in this covenant that God makes with Abram, God promises to bring forth many descendants from Abram, and that Abram's descendants will inherit the land. This passage shows us how God comes to Abram in his questioning and listens to what Abram tells him, accepts where Abram is, listens as Abram tells what he is feeling. And then God reassures him and promises that God will be faithful and that God will bring to pass those things God has promised. And as we know, God keeps the promises to Abram. And I think this is an important reminder to us of how God also honors the promises made to us, and of how God cares for us in our own doubts, questions, our own worry. Our gospel reading today expands on how God keeps the promises of the covenant, as Jesus continues those promises of God that were made long before to Abram. And in our passage this morning, Jesus is warned by the Pharisees that Herod wants to kill him. Jesus replies, "Go and tell that fox Herod, 'Listen, I am casting out demons and performing cures,'" not curses, "'cures today and tomorrow, and on the third day I finish my work.'" Jesus will not be intimidated by threats. He won't be restrained by fear. He goes about doing the work of God, bringing wholeness to people. And though Herod wants to kill him, Jesus does not abandon his mission of proclaiming God's love in order to save himself. And after refusing to worry about Herod, Jesus then has a lament over Jerusalem. He says, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing." I hear in this pain, disappointment. It really strikes me as a lament of Jesus. He stands ready to gather God's people under the safety of his wing, and yet they are not willing. They ignore his invitation. They do not turn to him and allow him to gather them to safety, and instead they plot to kill him, just as they killed the prophets before him. I wonder sometimes if we can think about God and God judging us as a kind of balance sheet, a balance sheet where there's a list on one side of how we are faithful, and on the other the ways that we have sinned. And it's not to say we won't be judged for what we have done, but I wonder if we forget about God's deep, passionate love for us, of God's desire and longing for us, of how God seeks to be close to us. Do we think of Jesus lamenting over us when we have turned away? This lament of Jesus shows the depths of his love for humanity and how strongly he desires that all turn to him, accepting his love and his protection. Jesus illustrates this deep longing by comparing himself to a mother hen protecting her brood. This is an especially poignant image because Jesus then goes on to call Herod a fox. And of course, the fox is the arch predator and foe of the vulnerable hen. And in comparing himself to a mother hen, Jesus is comparing himself to a creature that's not particularly powerful or strong. Jesus also compares himself to a mother who will do whatever it takes to protect her young, even giving her body to save her vulnerable offspring. A mother hen will give her life when the fox attacks to spare the life of her offspring. I find this image of Jesus as a mother hen especially poignant today. For the past 2 weeks, more than 2 weeks, we have watched in horror the invasion of Ukraine, of the horrific suffering of innocent civilians, especially women and children. We've seen so many disturbing images and videos, read news accounts of the terrible disruption and suffering. And in particular, in this past week, I saw a video of a mother who was clinging to her child as she fled Ukraine. She said she was leaving the country she loves to protect her child. And when the bombs fell around her, she described using her body to shield her daughter, literally saying, "They will have to kill me to get to my child." This chilling and disturbing image is like that protection, that fierce protection of a mother hen as she gathers her brood under her wing in time of danger, putting her body between offspring and attacker. It is also like Jesus, who extends his arms of love to protect his people, literally giving his life for humanity. This account today in our gospel comes from that part of Luke's gospel where Jesus has set his face to Jerusalem, to the city that will crucify him. And Jesus shows no fear as he journeys there, continuing his work of teaching and healing, moving ever closer day by day to his death. And just like a mother hen, the death of Jesus shows his vulnerability and also his care for others. Jesus doesn't resist those who kill him. He goes willingly to his passion, and he dies to save God's people, to set us free from the dominion of sin and death, from the tyranny of hate, to allow God's people to love abundantly and with abandon. In John's Gospel, Jesus promises, "And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." On the cross, Jesus gathers all people to his body. And just like that hen sheltering her brood, he hiding them from an attacking fox, so Jesus shelters God's children, delivering them in safety from the evil powers of this world, freeing humanity even from the power of death itself. And it is through the waters of baptism that we are incorporated into his body, that we become part of his body. And by his death and resurrection, we are delivered to the freedom of eternal life. As I mentioned at the beginning, we've been praying morning prayer together, and I'm struck by one of the particular collects in morning prayer. And it has echoes of this image of Jesus as a mother hen. It says, "Lord Jesus Christ, who did stretch out thine arms of love on the hard wood of the cross, that everyone might come within the reach of thy saving embrace." Jesus stands ready to receive and welcome us home. Jesus desires to gather all people into his loving arms. And when we turn away, separating ourselves from his love, Jesus laments over us. Jesus longs for us to be gathered by him, to be lifted to the divine life. As we journey through these days of Lent, may we faithfully keep this season by self-examination, prayer, fasting, study, self-denial, and almsgiving. And let us examine our lives and honestly see both the ways we've been faithful to God and the ways that we have strayed from God. And then repent of our sins and failings, that we receive God's mercy and forgiveness. For the reality is, God always stands ready to welcome us back. As our collect of the day this morning says, it is God's glory to have mercy. God always rejoices when a sinner repents and returns, when the one who is lost is found. Until each one turns and clings to Jesus in safety, there will be lament in heaven as God longs for the return of each of God's children, as God desires loving relationship with each and every one of us. Amen.